a couple of announcements. First, if you are right at the back, you may wish to move forward. There's plenty of space at the front, in the aisle, if you want to be able to see as well as hear. Inquiries are done in an atmosphere of coziness. And also, there's a number of people who've written notes requesting interviews. I will put up a list in the morning. I haven't forgotten you. Welcome to the inquiry session. After last night, you are somewhat familiar with the form. The intention is to free up the heart and mind, to point to truth and freedom for each one of us. So with the listening, please listen very deeply. And sometimes something someone says, it could be the person inquiring or something I say, touches and runs rather deeply within the being. And there's all kinds of loosening up, there's all kinds of understandings that can occur. So please listen very deeply, not only to what is being said, but also to your own inner reactions. At any time, I may say thank you, and you leave. And at any time, of course, you may say thank you, and leave. Sometimes I'll persuade you to stay, but you are free to leave. So, of course, I ask that the questions come from within you, a question that's relevant to your practice. And please don't ask a question that you think your aunt or your daughter might like to know the answer to, or your father, or so not a theoretical question, but rather something that's come from you, from your own practice, perhaps a question from the talks, or the instructions, or an exploration of a meditation experience. So if we could all just sit quietly for a minute or two, and then I'll ring the bell and make an invitation. Yes, anybody? Please. Yes. First and second. Once when I was here, people were sprinting up the aisle to get to the front. In Australia, you make the invitation, and there's this long silence. And then there's this pressure that builds in the room, and eventually you see people going like this, they're almost getting off their cushion, and then eventually they have the courage to stand up and come to the front. It's quite different here. So welcome. Ben, hello. And what is your question?
I will try to say to English.
Please.
In the last a lot of years.
Yes.
I'm asking myself all the time questions exactly the same as in the meditation.
Yes.
That there's the moments that I don't think, and there are moments that my mind thinks all the time.
Yes.
And the thing that most bothers me, and I know it's I'm doing a long journey with my life, going to a lot of places and therapy and etc.
So a lot of inquiry, a lot of investigation.
Yes.
And being receptive and open to learning and changes.
Yes.
Very good.
And each time I come like back from a retreat or I don't know how you call it, I feel good.
Yes.
And I say to myself, like in the meditation, don't think, whatever will be, will be, and everything is great, everything is wonderful, everything is fantastic. And then I go back home and I sit in my house alone.
Ah.
And again, thinking, what am I supposed to do with my life? Because I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that. And then again, stop thinking, because you're just wasting your time and wasting your energy, and you're not getting to any conclusion. And I did a lot of things in my life. I changed a lot. And like in these couple of years, I'm like, I'm waiting in a kind of panic. Don't start this because it's not for you. Or you don't like this, you don't like that. Just wait for something to happen. And I'm feeling that I'm like wasting my time. Because like even the time that I do things that I don't want to do, but I do them, and like my head doesn't think all day because I'm doing things. Even in that moment that I don't do what I want to do, I feel better. So,
sorry, you lost me. Even when you don't do what you want to do, you feel better.
Yeah, like if I work in something that I know I need to do it, but I know that I don't want to do it, but I'm doing it because I need to.
Yes.
Even like after I look backwards, I say, oh, it was a good period. It was a good time. So, in all of this that I'm saying, my question is...
Oh, yay! We're coming to the question. Please.
Am I supposed to wait and not think, and every time that don't think, okay, it will be okay, or I'm supposed to do something?
Okay. I understand the difficulty. So you're sitting here in the meditation, and you tell yourself, don't think. I don't remember giving that instruction. Meditation is not about not thinking. However, the next part of your philosophical approach, whatever will be, I'd have to say is rather true, isn't it? Whatever comes to be, will be. So, when is thought useful? What would the benefit of thought be?
From my experience, nothing.
Ah, okay. So the thoughts you have, you experience as problematic.
Yes, I know they are problematic. I know that they are going in circles all my life.
Okay. Today in the sitting, did you have any moments where you felt peace?
Yes, exactly after you did the when you said to joy and think about releasing the heart and the mind.
Yes.
So I didn't think of nothing most of the time, and I felt good.
Okay, so you found it was possible to breathe in experiencing joy and breathe out experiencing joy.
Yes.
So you did that, and then did some thoughts come eventually?
Yes, but a lot less.
Okay. There is some benefit in our thoughts quietening down. And some of our thoughts lead us to suffering. And some of our thoughts can lead us to freedom. What made you come to a retreat? What made you come?
Well,
Well, what? Someone made you?
No, well, I think I tried almost everything.
Yes.
And like, this is one of the things that I didn't try.
Yes.
And all my family almost went to a retreat, and I find it fascinating, and said maybe there I'll find some new things.
Okay. So someone, not saying who, made a suggestion that you come and try it. So is this your very first retreat?
Yes.
Okay, welcome. A really big warm welcome. So it was suggested to you that you come. Did you have any thoughts about it?
Well, I thought about it a lot of years, and
yes.
I was not ready, I think, before, because I was like terrified of not speaking. So it's not for me.
Okay.
And like,
so terrified of being with yourself.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Keep going.
And like in this last 2 years, I'm doing a lot of work with myself, and now I'm not almost not afraid of a lot of things that I was afraid before.
Beautiful. That's and wonderful news.
Yes.
Okay. So, can I take it that you had thought that you'd come to the retreat?
Yes.
Okay. So here's a thought that's actually led to a bit of an adventure. And it's actually led to you being with yourself without speaking and without being terrified. This is really good news. Okay, so what else happened on the retreat? You felt joy, you could be with yourself, you could stop talking, everything was okay. Please tell us more.
Well, the thing is that in this last year that I'm going to think like that,
yes,
a lot of things, when I come back, I feel like, wow, amazing.
Yes.
Now I know what I'm going to do.
Yes.
And everything is going to be okay.
Yes.
And then I sit in my house.
Yes.
Okay, what are you going to do now?
And now that you've been here, when you sit in your house, what are you going to do?
This was the first question.
Yes.
Am I going, like now, to like meditate? And
you could.
And wait. Continue waiting.
Okay. What is the fear? You said that when you are with yourself, there's sometimes fear. What is the fear?
Um, It took me 2 years, I think, to understand my fear.
Yes.
My fear is to choose not right.
The fear is of making the wrong decision.
Yes, and this is why I'm not choosing.
Okay. So you're paralyzed through the fear. It must be a family trait. Paralyzed through the fear. I'm joking because there was a question in the last retreat about decision making. There's a kind of paralysis that can set in when we're afraid to make a decision. Because the thought is, if I make this decision, it's right. If I make this decision, it's wrong. Should I just wait or should I do something? I don't know. So then we're stuck. Is there another way of looking at it? From your experience here and from the instructions and from the talks, is there another way of looking at this situation?
The thing is that I understand. I know what you're talking about.
Yes.
But like, I'm paralyzed. I know that it's stupid.
But I didn't say that.
I say I'm.
Okay.
But like, I'm paralyzed of doing the step.
Okay. What would the step be to step through your fear? What would it take when you leave the retreat? What would it take to shift the stuck feeling that you have of being so alone, sitting at home calling yourself stupid, sitting at home feeling fear, and I'm not making fun of that, it's actually terrible to sit at home and feel fear. So what would shift that? When does fear subside in your life? Because it's not there all the time.
Subside?
Fade.
Fade. A lot of times when I'm dancing, when I'm doing sports.
Yes.
When I do money sometimes. Even like in meditation, when I say, okay, it will be okay, don't think. A lot of times.
Okay. So there's many times in your life, actually, where the fear is absent.
Yes.
And you're dancing.
Yeah.
Or you're playing sport.
Yeah.
Or you're making money.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if this relationship you have with thought needs to change, where you say, don't think.
Yeah, I didn't understand.
You have a relationship with the world of thought where you say to yourself, don't think. I wonder how constructive that is. It might be better to allow the thoughts, because the more we try to push away thoughts that we don't like, the stronger they become. Have you noticed that? So when we have a thought that's fearful, or we have a critical thought about ourselves, or we don't like what we do, or we don't like how we are, or we don't like how our life is, the more we try to push away those thoughts, the stronger they become and the more influence they have over us. So, what we need to understand is a wise relationship with the world of thought. And some thoughts lead to freedom. The thought, let's dance, might lead to freedom. The thought, let's come to a retreat, might lead to an understanding. The thought, let's play sport with a friend, might lead to connection. And when we do that, the fear subsides, the loneliness subsides, the stuckness, the fear of making a mistake subsides. Have you made a decision in the past that you've regretted?
lot of time they say yes, but no, I don't regret, I think, nothing.
You don't regret? Okay, very good. Okay, so you don't regret. I'm curious about you saying you spent a lot of time at home alone. Why is that?
I have a lot of free time, a lot of free time. I'm self-employed, so I have lots of time.
Okay, and do you not connect with friends, with people?
I do, but there's a lot of hours in the day, so only nights. I have a lot of friends, but family, great family, but
Are you in a relationship or not?
No.
No. Okay, so you're at home, you're alone, you have friends, but because you work for yourself, the day is rather open.
Yes.
And when the day is rather open, you start to wonder what you ought to be doing with yourself. So one possibility is simply to put more structure in your day. So to order your day so that you're not so much alone with the critical thinking. Okay, what else would you do? We've got dancing, playing sport, being with friends. We've got putting structure in your life. Coming to meditation retreats, of course. What else?
Well, the thing that bothers me is that I could live like this all my life if in my head was not the money, what to do with money. I could read books and go to retreats all my life, but I need to work and do money, and what will be, kids, blah blah blah.
Okay, you don't have children, or you do?
No.
Okay. But you wonder about that.
One day we need to work and bring.
Yeah, okay. So you're setting yourself up. You have an imaginary life that hasn't happened yet. How old are you? 38. Okay. So, my question to you is the one you put to me. What are you going to do? Having spoken, having looked at your life, what does your own inner wisdom tell you? If you really ask your heart, so not thinking about with your head, but asking with your heart.
It tells me what I'm continuing to do. It's like, do a little this, a little bit of that, and wait and see what happens.
It sounds a little bit passive to me, doesn't it?
Yes.
It sounds a bit as if you've given up reaching out, that somehow you're holding back. Are you? Are you holding back your heart?
Well, I don't remember if you said it. Like Hollywood. Hollywood is like...
What's running?
So
you have an imagined romantic fantasy? Is this what you mean by Hollywood?
Not only romantic, also like work, like something that is meaningful, and I would... This is what I need to do, want to do.
Okay, so what do you do in your life that's meaningful now? What's meaningful to you? What's most important in your life?
I don't know how to answer that.
Okay. This is a question that needs some reflection. And sitting at home, shutting yourself off from the world, will not give you the answer. So, how are you going to approach the question? What is most important to you in this life?
I know what I want the answer to be.
What's that?
Love.
Okay. So how can you live true to love right now?
And be open to it, seek it.
Yes. And to be open to love and to seek love, what do you need to do?
I'm going out of my home and not...
Yes!
I'm not at home all the time.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear it. So you're going out, seeking love. Hey everybody, there's a wonderful available man here. Someone who wants to love, somebody who wants to have children. You'll just have to come to Australia. Israel's very good for this. Okay. I think if you allow yourself to be seen, rather than hide at home, your life will start to open up. So, please live true to love. Make your life about love. Express love. Whenever we're caught in shall I or shall I not, will I do this or will I do that, we're caught in a world of thought and indecision. And we're denying the movement of the heart, which is the movement to love. Do you understand?
Yes.
So from this moment, right here now, just please have a little look out there and start loving. Another look, that wasn't long enough. Yes, just begin to love right now, and that will be your life. Whatever we incline our heart and mind to becomes our life. If we incline our heart and mind to withdrawal, that becomes our life. It's painful. If we incline our heart and mind to engagement, to joy, and the joy you understood, so there's a practice for you. You can know joy just by hearing two sentences. I shall breathe in experiencing joy. In 3 minutes, you felt it. Would that be a clue? Yes. So please live true to love. Don't hold back from loving. And allow the joy of life, that natural, wondrous joy of life, to flow through your whole being. And with the world of thought, please notice which thoughts are beneficial and which thoughts lead to negativity and sorrow. The thoughts that are beneficial are fabulous. And so we need to cultivate those. Thank you. And thank you for coming out. Just sitting quietly. was someone over here. Please, come.
Use the mic. I'll try to speak louder.
Oh, do you think that will work?
Do you hear me in the back? I'll try to speak loud. We talked about love and about I, and there's not such a thing as I. And my question is, and maybe it's two questions. Is one, how to live the thoughts that of I and love, that I don't know what is love, I didn't reach love. Get out from this wall and jail that I build about feeling and about love. And in the other side, how to, when can feel something, we all feel, how to not drown in an ocean of emotion and feeling.
How do you know that you are feeling?
Oh, it's shaking you out.
Okay.
You feel the heart.
Yes. So, what is it that allows you to know your feelings?
The heart.
Yeah, that's a good answer. So, the heart or your awareness reveals the nature of the feelings. And you said that sometimes feelings are very strong and overwhelming. And sometimes they're what? You say?
Sometimes you try to learn what is the feeling. You don't feel it, you try to reach it.
Okay. And I'm not sure I understood you correctly. Did you say that you know what love is or you don't know what love is?
That's what I said. It feels complicated because it's one, in one point, one side you feel like I try now, like I come from this retreat, part of Tahlich, process of finding the feeling, finding myself, and
what have you understood today about feelings and the self, feelings and the I?
I have few moments of the feeling that the I is not I, and the feeling is it's hard to say that it.
Yes. Okay. So you had an experience of not clinging to yourself, not holding on, and that the feelings were not self.
Yes.
Yes. Not I.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
I didn't feel like you said you're very happy to say to hear that.
Yes,
I feel
like I am. I mean, someone was listening on the retreat. Okay, so we can have a feeling, and we can have the experience of the feeling being not me or not mine. But there's feeling. So when the sense of I dissolves, when the sense of I dissolves, what is it that's revealed?
Is it revealed?
Yeah,
I'm sorry about the English.
I'm sorry about my total lack of Hebrew.
It's hard to say because it's not like it's like a moment. You feel that it.
It's very hard to say, so please take your time. Just stop. The question is, when the sense of I and my ceases with relationship to your feelings, when you see that feelings are not self, what is it that's revealed?
Freedom.
Yes. Freedom. Beautiful. So when we no longer cling to the sense of this feeling is mine, we see and know for ourselves a sense of freedom. So we could say, couldn't we, that the freedom doesn't have anything to do with me or you?
Yeah, but...
Yes, but...
No, we're talking about this moment, but it's... I don't know, it's like a moment. It can maybe hold like half an hour of feeling good.
Okay. So, we need to see and understand the experiences that we have had rather than go in search of an experience where we're just feeling good all the time. It's a mistaken notion of freedom to think that to be free is to just have some kind of steady state feelings that are all good all of the time. Our experience shifts and changes, doesn't it? One minute the feelings are small and light or serene or beautiful, and the next minute they're strong and powerful and overwhelming, just as you said. Feelings shift and change. When the feelings are strong and powerful, are they self or not self?
I'm not sure. Well, it's connecting to the eye that you said.
So?
I don't know. It's complicated what you asked.
Yes, self, it is. I'll ask self. Again. So, if you have a strong feeling, is that not self as well? You said you had a feeling and you could see that it was not self. When you have a strong feeling, isn't it the same?
Like always strong feeling?
No.
Strong feeling is meaning.
No.
I didn't get it.
No, sorry. When you have an overwhelming feeling, wouldn't it also be true that the feeling was not you, not self?
I guess by the Dharma, but not by my feeling.
Okay. All right. So it's easier for us to see in certain situations. That's why we have retreat. So when we let go of self, when we let go of clinging to self, whether it's the feeling world or the world of thought, what's revealed is our freedom. What's your response?
I don't know what to say. It's like, no. Okay, this is a Dharma, you're right, but what next? I'll tell you what I'm thinking.
Please.
I came here by foot doing the Israel trail.
Yes.
So... I told you yesterday, I guess you don't remember. Actually, so I'm walking along all day thinking, and what I'm thinking now, it's okay, I have now the freedom for a minute, and even for the retreat, it's give you a calm, but Sunday I will walk, and again, all the thought and the feeling and can be nice, but it also can always come back to the pain and the confusing.
Okay, so are you saying you could lose your sense of understanding what you've just told me? You could lose your sense of freedom?
Yes. Cool. How would
you? Okay, so the practice is to see that feelings are not self. Thoughts are not self. In that very moment of seeing the freedom that you told me about, What's that freedom? Describe for me what that freedom felt like.
I just thought about it, and it's that's the problematic question, because it was, I don't know, it felt like something, but I can't say what, and I just felt strong or something, and I tried to explain myself what it was, and but it's kind of a second of a...
A second of what? Keep going.
I try to remember what it feels like. I don't know, I have a moment that when I try to liberate, like you said, and it feels like it's make me feel, when I'm sitting, it's make me like I'm opening. Suddenly found myself like this.
Yes.
And in the highlights, it make me like cry.
Yes.
And then it's like when you cry and you feel good.
Yes.
So that was in the meditate make me to go to this. And
so you felt like an expansiveness, and then tears came, and the tears were tears of joy or tears of sorrow. What were they?
Kind of release, I guess.
Tears of release. So this is your heart. Tears of release from what?
From the pain that...
The pain of the past.
Pain of the past.
So this experience, even this momentary experience that you've had, is really precious. A beautiful experience, and the more we can touch into that, the more the pains just dissolve because they are unsupported. So the practice is to see the freedom over and over and over in all the small steps of life, and you are literally walking. So, on Sunday, when you start walking, how will you walk?
First of all, I don't know, and I'm still trying to. It was very hot and tough week.
Okay.
Try to make it, try to get here, but I didn't, was in the distance, so I had to walk all the day.
So how will you walk on Sunday?
I don't know, I'll have to see how I'm going to wake up in the morning.
Okay. And hopefully you'll walk with attention, you'll walk with freedom, you'll walk seeing that the feeling world is not self.
Great.
The thoughts are not self.
I don't get the answer. If I will wake up and feel the world is great and freedom, I'll walk like this, but that's the fear that the... It won't happen.
Okay. Tell me again your question.
Yeah, I just thought about it. The question was how to find the all the feeling, but especially of love, and to release it from the from all what I try to hide and the. Not find all these years, and what we didn't talk about, even if I can find it, feel like I'm drowned, make me very harmful.
Okay. So when you walk, just be mindful of the walking. Be mindful of the sense that you can just walk without making it a big problem. Feelings will come, thoughts will come. Sometimes the feelings will be sweet and nice, sometimes they'll be overwhelming. What makes the feelings overwhelming?
Overwhelming is the total.
How come some feelings are okay and the rest are overwhelming?
If it's painful.
Ah. Mm. So it's only the painful feelings you don't like.
I guess so.
But if we took that attitude and said, the painful feelings we don't like, the good ones we like, there'd be no freedom, would there?
Yes, but there is a painful that you can find an answer and find your answer in yourself, but and there is a painful of just, I don't know, stuck in something in the past, and it's not to have to...
Yes, so we let go of the past, we let go of the present, and we let go of the future, and then we just walk.
I can take acid and feel it, but it's not happening all day.
Meditation is better than acid. this is a voice of experience.
Please. I try only to meditate, so I don't know.
Okay. Meditation will take you much deeper, to much more ecstatic, profound, and liberating feelings than any drug, I promise you. So walk with freedom. Walk with love in your heart. Walk with a steadiness that can embrace the difficult feelings as well as the sweet ones that we like.
Steadiness.
Because otherwise we're cutting off half of life. We're saying we don't like these feelings because they overwhelm us. And these feelings we'll have, but there's no freedom in that. Yeah, because we're not being free with the totality of life. Life is a totality. So walking with freedom in your heart is to walk knowing that you have the capacity to be with the pleasant and the unpleasant, the good and the bad, the hot day and the cold day, and so on. That's where you'll find your freedom.
Awesome.
And having had an experience of letting go of self, we need to keep practicing it, keep loosening up the grip of the mind. When the self clings and grips, we need to soften, loosen, let go. And we don't go in search of the freedom. We actually allow ourselves to let go into the freedom. And then, it's as we heard in the Dharma talk today, it's not freedom from anything. It's not freedom from the overwhelming feelings. It's a freedom with the totality of life, including all that's difficult, as well as all that's sweet and beautiful. This is the path. Enjoy the walk.
Thank you.
Just sitting quietly. Well, we have all men tonight.
Yes. Wow.
In Australia, we have difficulty getting men to come to retreats. Usually the retreat is full of women. Maybe in a retreat of 30, there's often only 2 or 3 men.
You don't have so many
soldiers. Yeah, that's true. Okay, hi. Welcome. Hi.
Thank you. My name is Guy.
Yes.
And I would like to explore an aspect of the Dharma.
Yes.
It was founded by you 3 teachers in this retreat.
Yes.
If that's possible.
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. So, in the Dharma talk today, Sandhya said, quoted a beautiful verse of the Buddha. And if I remember it correct, it says that the entire body of wisdom is within this mind and body.
Yes.
It's within it. Which means everything there is to know in order to is within us. And what us means also is that we are 5 aggregates, a form of consciousness, of feeling, of thought and perception.
Yes.
Okay. But during the retreats and the inquiry yesterday, you implied that there is some sort of state of mind or a perception or view which is stable, durable, and can be with the painful process of change in the body and in the mind. And
I said there was that which is unwavering.
Yes.
This is the deathless teaching of the Buddha. It is not a state of mind. If I gave that impression, I'm sorry, that's not a state of mind. It's a profound knowing of the truth of reality. Please keep asking questions.
Okay. So, can you expand or explain about the coming to be of this understanding within these 5 aggregates that we are, which is changing?
Yes.
Which is impermanent?
Yes.
Or in another question.
That's enough. That's done. That's enough. Okay. So, let's go through the aggregates. You understand that form is not self?
Yes.
Feelings?
Yes.
Perception?
Likewise.
Mental formations?
Yes.
Consciousness?
Yes.
Ah, beautiful. Okay, so when there's the cessation, or we see that the I does not wrap itself around and cling to any of the aggregates, what does that reveal?
Does the self is outside the aggregates?
Say that again.
Does the self is outside the aggregates?
The self is outside the aggregates.
That's what I'm asking.
Oh, it's a question. The self.
In other words, does the self is outside?
Is the self outside? Is the self outside?
The aggregates are not self. And when we look, can self be found anywhere? What do you know about self? Okay. We see self arise in relationship to an object, and we see it cease in relationship to an object. If we cling, the self is formed and constructed. When we let go, there's the cessation of self. So, we have form is not self, feeling is not self, and so on. Consciousness even is not self. What then? What remains? What is revealed? When we have that understanding that the self cannot be found in any of those five places.
My question.
Yes. Yes.
Does the self is outside of the aggregates?
No, it's not outside of the aggregates either.
Yes. So it's within the aggregates.
It's not within them either.
The aggregate is Mitzrafim and Mashem, Markiv et Yitzhur HaNashi, Hakara, Tfisa, Regesh, Machshava, and Guf.
There is nothing that is self or belongs to a self.
Yes.
Okay. Not within or outside of the aggregates. Settled? Okay. We see the cessation of our clinging to any of the aggregates. My question.
When you say our, you mean the aggregates?
We see the cessation clinging. Of clinging to any of the aggregates. Mm-hmm. And then what? What does that reveal to you?
It reveals that it is conditioned.
Yes.
And therefore, it is not durable.
Yes.
Whether we clean it or not.
Yes. And what is the unconditioned? What is not dependent upon conditions? These are the big questions.
Yes. Is that a question that requires an answer?
Yes.
Okay. I don't have it.
Okay, so the I is resting where?
When you say I don't have it,
yes. In the mental formations, it says, I don't have it.
Yes.
Okay, so we let go of that.
Yeah.
Yes?
I'm following you.
Good. So we let go of clinging to any kind of mental formation which says, I don't have the answer, or I don't understand the unconditioned, or I am not free.
Is say I don't know or I don't have necessarily mean that there is clinging?
Not necessarily. But if we're in a stuck place about it and we can't see beyond it, then there's probably some clinging.
Mm-hmm.
So, my question was, What is it that is not dependent upon conditions? Do you have any sense of it? Can you touch or know that? Or have you had an experience? Okay. Tell me your deepest experience of freedom so far.
Coming up here.
Okay. Coming up here. So you're feeling extraordinary freedom here?
Yeah.
Okay. Wonderful. Does it have any end? You don't know. Describe to me and to all of us.
I'm not sure the question is, can touch exactly if it has any end.
Okay. Describe to us the freedom. You're not sure if it has an end? It could be endless, could be limitless even. So your most expansive experience of freedom or peace, would you say it's boundless?
Maybe I can ask a different question.
You can try.
Yeah. But maybe I will explain one.
Yes. Go ahead.
You asked me what is my deepest
understanding of freedom.
And this is exactly my question from. Or it's relating to my question earlier.
Yes, I know.
Which, if all there is to know, all body of wisdom, is within five aggregates that are under change, constant change, and has nothing stable in them, how do you imply an understanding which is durable? An understanding of freedom, a perception of freedom, which is doable
okay.
in this life.
Yes.
Or in a different question.
Yes.
Which does not cancel the first question.
No, I'm understanding the first question.
Okay.
When the Buddha said that we can see and know our liberation within this fathom length body, so if we turn our attention inwards, we can see and know extraordinary liberation and freedom. The aggregates, you see, are simply that. Are the aggregates the totality of all that we can know and understand with this vast and great mind of ours? We see the cessation of clinging to them. We see that we are not self. This is called a characteristic of existence. To understand that we are not self. Yet we can go deeper. We can go further when we look and say, what does that understanding then reveal to us? What does it show us?
Apart from being impermanent.
Yes, apart from the fact that it's impermanent. Yeah.
I never looked for it.
Please look further. This is the Dharma teaching.
Yeah.
The Buddha says to turn our attention from the world of form and attend to the deathless. So we need to attend to that which is unborn and undying. We need to turn our attention to that which is not of the nature of arising and ceasing.
Here is the confusion.
Yes.
I find that know what arising and ceasing is. To know it is to know it by something that arising and ceasing. And therefore.
So we know it by consciousness, is what you're saying. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Maybe. No?
I don't think so. Go on.
Okay.
How do we know?
Anything?
We see the impermanence.
Yeah.
Keep going. And that, you're saying that which sees is also impermanent?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
When I say, as the Buddha said, there is that which is unborn and undying, is there any sense that you have of that?
Can you ask me?
When the Buddha says there is that which is unborn and undying, do you have any sense of that? We turn away from the world of form. We turn our attention to that which is not of the nature of arising and ceasing.
Is there something which doesn't have the nature of arising and ceasing?
Yes. This is the deathless teaching of the Buddha. That which is unwavering. That which is unaffected by clinging. That which is not dependent on birth and death. That which is not dependent upon conditions.
Okay. So, maybe it's the last question, but are the way we experience everything,
yes,
is by these five elements. How can something impermanent experience something that is not permanent?
How do we know and see the five aggregates?
Five aggregates.
Mm-hmm. When the aggregates cease, or our clinging to the aggregates cease, truth is revealed. It's not of time. You see, are you saying that because we're living creatures and we die, we're impermanent, therefore we can't see?
No.
No, okay, good.
But what I say is that because all of what we are,
yes,
is come to be and cease, not just by birth, not just by death, but just by experience, all that we are come to be in our experience, right? The Buddha said, "I consciousness," right?
Yes.
Yes. I consciousness. Yes. Then there's feeling, perception, yes. Thoughts.
Yes.
Yes. All that we are is impermanent. So how can something impermanent, whether it's consciousness or the entire five aggregates, can experience something which is permanent?
Mm-hmm.
Where is the knowledge kept?
Mm-hmm. I see what you're saying. The Buddha
is there another place, a sixth aggregate?
Not that I'm aware of. So, the Buddha described it as knowing a rose, he said. Knowing.
A rose.
What would that knowing be? Where would that come from? What do you think he's talking about? There can be a profound knowing.
I don't doubt.
Sorry?
I don't doubt that.
You don't doubt that?
No.
Okay.
What I doubt is the option for it to... No, not the option. What I doubt is that there is something in which... Something permanent in which the knowledge sustains.
It's not something.
Yes, maybe.
Not something. When we think with the mind bound by our own self, we can't see beyond it. The island of non-clinging is that which he talks about, non-possession, that you understand.
Yes.
No thingness. Do you understand no thingness?
Yes.
Okay. So when we let go of all things, and we let go of self, there's a profound knowing of freedom to be discovered. And it's unconditioned. It's unborn. It's bound to neither existence nor non-existence. And I think your question is tied up with thinking about existence or non-existence. So we need to touch and know that which is neither bound to existence nor non-existence. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are you still feeling the freedom up here? Yes? Yes. And I absolutely, absolutely loved your question and the dialogue and the exploration. This is the heart of the Dharma. To explore, to see, to discuss and discover that which is exceedingly difficult to talk about.
Thank you.
Just sitting quietly. short reflection. The first inquiry, there was the two kinds of thought. Thought that leads to liberation. Thought that leads to pain, anguish, and despair. And the way through is to live true to that. And to cultivate those thoughts, of course, that live to freedom, that lead to freedom, and let the others go. In terms of the whole notion of self and not self, and any kind of struggle we have with that, when the notion of self ceases, the small I, the me, the my, we start to touch the expansiveness of possible, and then we can walk with freedom, live with freedom, and experience the totality of our feeling world without saying, "I'll just have this and not that," because that's impossible. Our freedom needs to include the totality of all of life's difficulties. Otherwise, it's not free. And finally, with the last inquiry. How can we know the deathless, or how can we know that which is unborn and unceasing? If all that this body is impermanent. When we turn our attention from the world of form to the deathless, as the Buddha directed, to that which it's not of the nature of coming and going. We start to sense and see and know the extraordinary freedom that's possible. That which is unborn and undying. And if none of those words make any sense to you at this point, please don't worry. Okay. It really is okay. And when we let go and let go and let go, there is the profound knowing of truth, the profound knowing of that which is unconditioned, unborn, and deathless. And it doesn't come and go. It's not of the nature to come and go. And this is to be experienced in the meditation practice. It's then understood much more easily than, I think, trying to work it out through the world of thought. Thank you for listening so long. Thank you for your attention, and especially thank you to those who inquired.